corporate comedy floss news and no political spin. This is Truth Radio by Internet. Thanks to our sponsor, NeemWell.com, because here, the expression is still free. Is it time to take a stand against religion, especially the fundamentalist religion that underpins the war on terror? Join me and my guest Ken Humphreys. It's showdown time with the Jesus Jihad. You're on the next level on breakfornews.com.
Would you do me a favor and push me on to the next level?
And you're very welcome to the next level on breakfornews.com. This is Fintan Dunn reporting. Thank you for joining us. Thanks also to our sponsor, NeemWell.com, your personal source for potent Indian neem. It's absolutely astonishing that one herb can simultaneously be an effective anti-inflammatory, antihistamine, antiseptic, antifungal, and antiviral. And you can find out more at NeemWell.com. That's NeemWell.com. You're very welcome to the show, and we have got a guest on the show tonight who's been on the show before to tremendous reaction. That's Ken Humphreys, the webmaster of JesusNeverExisted.com. Check the Break for News archive for a copy of that interview. Ken's website is one of the best, if not the best, summary of the evidence for the non-existence of Jesus. He gives you an overview of an astounding range of evidence that indicates that Jesus quite simply never existed. But now we're going to bring that issue into a modern context, and it's in response to an article which Ken has recently put online at the site there called The Jesus Jihad. Ken, you're very welcome back to the next level.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back with you again.
It's great to have you back, Ken. We got a huge reaction when you were on the show last time, and I think you knocked people out. I'm still in recovery, and it changed me, Ken. I sort of half suspected some of this stuff, but you just nailed it. And I'm sure you get those kind of emotional reactions from people all the time.
Well, certainly it does prompt fairly strong emotions at times, but not an insignificant number of correspondents have made comments similar to yourself, that they've been perhaps in doubts and a certain amount of mental anguish for some time, and in many cases give them the courage to actually say, hey, you know, I'm free from this stuff now.
Yeah. But there's been one change since you were last on the show, Ken. We have had a change of pope. Hey, what do you think of that new pope? You just go straight from one pope who works for the Bushes to another guy who works for the Bushes.
I guess for over a number of years there was a certain amount of fear and foreboding about whether Ratzinger would get the number one spot, and of course he did. Now, I don't think we've even begun to see the consequences of that yet. We're at an early stage. I think even today I was reading about the plans to reintroduce the Latin Mass. I mean,
you're kidding.
The new article I put on the site about the Jesus Jihad, of course, uses the subtitle of The Dark Age Restored. I think we've got another indication in the wind of an episode that the humanity lived through once before, and a certain amount of concern here, I think.
Just in case people aren't fully clued in on what we're using for shorthand here, of course, the last pope, John Paul, was very active in the downfall of the communist regime in Poland, which caused the fall of the Berlin Wall, the collapse of the Soviet Empire, and the extension of NATO into Eastern Europe, coincidentally. And the new guy's hardly a wet day in the job before he's stirring it up with the Muslims as part of the next crusade.
Yep, I think that's so. I think there is a new aggressive stance within the Christian movement on a global scale now. It doesn't necessarily mean its support in sheer numbers is growing. I think in many cases it's weakened. Mm-hmm. Its actual political stance is more assertive. And I think we're seeing that. Although the Catholic Church has got serious problems in terms of its numbers and its recruitment of priests and so on, it's taken a far more assertive role in the world. And it does fit in with certain powerful voices from the States. And
right.
I think think it should concern every rational person.
Perhaps strategically what they're at, you put your finger on it there in two comments. One, they're talking about Latin Mass again. My God, we're going backwards.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that this fear agenda, and the numbers are actually dropping. Maybe they're trying to ramp things up into the fear agenda to corral the remaining congregation of the faithful.
I tend to regard organisations of the church, particularly the Roman Catholic Church, as businesses. You know, they're a world, you know, conglomerate, and they're facing the erosion of market share. Now, under such circumstances, what can they do? And they turn to some of their tried and tested policies from an earlier era, and
right,
you know, the use of fear is, if you like, a counterstroke to the growing liberalism that we lived through for a generation, and tolerance and openness. And now there is a sort of a stop being put down there, and an attempt to reverse the whole trend. And unfortunately, it fits together with some of the anti-scientific trends that we see in the States and elsewhere.
It has a defensive motive to retain market share, and it's aimed as much at their own heartland. Look what they did to their heads with the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah. I mean, that was the nadir of modern culture, I think, the Mel Gibson movie. I mean, yeah, it's a brilliant movie in its own way, but simply a restatement of the most literalist and fantastic interpretation of the biblical story. I mean, unfortunately, where a scholarship unravels this nonsense and lays it bare as a sort of not to be taken literally at all, it's figurative, it's allegory. Instead, we get this very graphic, gory representation, which, of course, with the intent to say, this is what really happened, you know, this, mm-hmm. this is all the techniques of Hollywood saying, it's just like this. And unfortunately, of course, among a certain audience, it will have that impact.
You know, the iconography, when you go into the Catholic Church, and I can criticize it because I have to stand up and say now I'm an ex-Catholic. Yes. So I'm coming out. Coming out as an ex-Catholic, I can criticize. And there's the iconography. The theory is Jesus floating in heaven, having successfully triumphed over evil, but the reality is depicted suffering still on the cross. And I think that psychologically, I saw that as a PSYOP movie, that they were psychologically sending that message. Yes, the world is full of suffering. Yes, the world is torture. Yes, the world is horrible. To reinforce that fanaticism, sadomasochistic fanaticism.
I interpret this infatuation that the Christians have with this suffering of Christ. It's the yardstick of real suffering, but unfortunately it overshadows real suffering. I mean, in the real world, people suffer in immense and immeasurable ways, and yet, of course, it has nothing compared to the suffering of Christ. I mean, it's a cunning psychological device, and a very unhealthy one.
Well, yeah, the healthy one is two words, it's shit happens. Whereas the unhealthy one, I think, feeds into all of our natural tendencies to develop a personal persecution complex about the suffering that is just a natural part of life, that's part of growth. It turns that into an end in itself, almost.
Yes, I think, actually, with this sort of icon of ultimate suffering always paraded in front of us, it is a device to say, well, put up with the mere burdens that you have, very much so in the oppressed parts of the world. You say, your suffering is nothing compared to the Lord. And it is that sort of device, isn't it? That device for pacification and simply preserving the status quo in many cases.
Yeah. There is a feeling abroad, politically, that the support base of the GOP has gone weaker, and that these people are going to take a bath in the November elections, and that really we're sort of out of the woods. But I'm not so sure, certainly not with the ascension of Ratzinger to the head of the Catholic Church.
Caution is called for. We don't need a crystal ball to be able to forecast that there will be reverses for the Republicans in the upcoming election.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that is merely one rainy day on an otherwise sunny summer, isn't it? That they will regroup and relaunch and repackage footage and the, you know, what their project, which they really have been hatching now for at least 20 years, will go on, and the battle is far from over. And in fact, no, we live in the American century, and it's certainly the powers that be have a certain design for how the world will come forever, ever more to resemble the USA. And that project will not go away quickly.
We're very well informed on Break for News, and there's a forum there, and people are very tuned in. We know that behind the scenes, GOP, Democrats, it's the American establishment, and they can wear whatever hat they want when it suits, and they can let the people vote Democratic one time, knowing that they'll come back and get them again.
Well, yes, I remember the quote from Gore Vidal that the USA actually has one party with two right wings. I think that captures it entirely.
Well, here, let me give another quote just to lead us into the main topic. And it's just a couple of sentences from your latest Jesus Jihad. And it summarizes it a great way with words, Ken. Let me read it, if you will. You wrote, "Bestriding the world in a way that no other nation can, America has become more invasive, predatory, and repressive than at any time in its history. 800 US military bases garrison the globe, a highly militarized state backed by major corporations and a wealthy elite exploits the public fear of foreigners, subversives, and minorities to create a high-tech version of medieval demonology in which an unseen enemy is poised to exploit any lack of vigilance. There is only one response to the lurking power of darkness, love of Jesus, and awesome weaponry."
I'm glad you like that.
It's brilliant.
I think there are serious and disturbing trends in the current climate in the USA, and I think quite sensibly a large percentage of the European population are aware of this and concerned about it, and I think justifiably disturbed by our political close alignment with those forces.
You know, given that kind of a view, a long-term view of what's going on, we're not quite sure of these guys yet.
See, when you see the images of the evangelical movement and the mass support that it has, and it's essentially hysterical and anti-intellectual stance. And I hear this in my email correspondence all the time from people in the States, that something is transforming their whole system under the guise of the Patriot Act, in the name of the war on terror. America is becoming a very different country. Now, whether there are sufficient liberal forces to say, hey, let's bring a bit of reality back here, let's balance the scales again, one hopes, but I'm not sure I'm convinced it will happen.
You've pointed out that we've seen the Catholic Church and Christianity itself morph before our eyes in the last 25, 30 years, that the idea that Christ would come back and rule in peace on earth for 1,000 years is gone. No, it's we're all leaving in a rapture, the good ones, and then everybody who isn't a believer is going to be destroyed by fire and brimstone and pestilence. It's a completely different vision of the future, isn't it?
It is a completely different vision, and what we see is yet another morphing of Christianity into a rather different beast. And I have mapped the development of the peculiar American version of Christianity, and many people in Europe would not recognize it, really, because it's so aggressive, it's so greedy, it's so materialistic, it's anti-libertarian, it's very severe in its censorship of human behavior. It bears more and more resemblance to a medieval Catholicism.
Yes.
And it's interesting, it follows the same path, that now they're almost ditching any claims of intellectual enlightenment. They are talking always in terms of the physical presence of the Lord. And they have these shows where, you know, the Holy Spirit puts on a performance like reality TV. It's just remarkable, and yet it obviously appeals to some particular aspect of the American psyche.
we do have saints of American culture. For example, and you point them out, St. John Wayne would be one. You know, and they're always the gun-toting. I'm bringing you peace, love, and Christianity, and if you don't like it, I'll blow your head off.
This is surely how one has to make sense of the adventure into Iraq and elsewhere in the Middle East, that there is an underlying ideology provided by this newfangled variant of Christianity, which is justifying this interventionism. It's justifying, and it gives it a scenario of the end time. This is all these incidents that are daily occurring are indicative of the imminent return of their Lord. And unfortunately, but many people who feel something is inevitable, they also work at making this inevitable happen. And when it involves sort of, well, as revelations would tell us, the elimination of most of humanity, that is a very dangerous ideology to be floating around on the political agenda. I believe, you know, much of the liberty of which the Americans have been so proud since their own revolution is being undermined daily. And for several months I was exchanging emails with an American correspondent who found many of my articles interesting and some of them disturbing. But when I brought the story of American Christianity into the present period, he began to get alarmed that I was moving into a political arena. And his concern was that I was obviously being watched by security. He was afraid that he would get a visit from the FBI for receiving emails from me. And I thought, is this the climate in which these people are now functioning? That they, you know, that even the exchange of ideas now makes them fearful of their own police.
Well, let's pick that up after a piece of music. You're on the next level. I'm speaking with Ken Humphries, and we'll be right back.
Voice of racism preaching the gospel is devilish. A fake church called the Prophet Muhammad a terrorist. Forgetting God is not religion, but a spiritual bond. And Jesus is the most quoted prophet in the Quran. They bombed innocent people trying to murder Saddam. When you gave them those chemical weapons to go to war with Iran. This is the information that they hold back from Peter Jennings. Cause Condoleezza Rice is just a new age Sally Hemings. I break it down with critical language and spiritual anguish. The Judas are hanged. The guilt of betraying Christ, who murdered him, stole his religion, and painted him white. Translated in psychologically tainted philosophy, conservative political right-wing ideology. Glued together sloppily, the blasphemy of a nation. Got my back to the wall, cause I'm facing assassination. Guantanamo Bay, federal incarceration. How could this be? The land of the free, home of the brave, indigenous Holocaust, and the home of the slaves. Corporate America, dancing offbeat to the rhythm. You really think this country never sponsored terrorism? Human rights violations, we continue the saga. El Salvador and the Contras and Nicaragua. And on top of that, you still wanna take me to prison. Just cause I won't trade humanity for patriotism. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain. Suggestive thinking, causing your perspective to change. They wanna rearrange the whole point of view of the ghetto. The fourth branch of the government wants us to settle. A bandana full of glittering generality, fighting for freedom and fighting terror. But what's reality? Read about the history of the place that we live in, and stop letting corporate news tell lies to your children. Flow like the blood of Abraham through the Jews and the Arabs, broken apart like a woman's heart, abused in a marriage, the brink of holy war, bottled up like a miscarriage. Embedded correspondents don't tell the source of the tension, and they refuse to even mention European intervention or the massacres in Jenin. The innocent screams, U.S. manufactured missiles and M16s, weapon contracts and corrupted American dreams. Media censorship blocking out the video screens. A continent of oil kingdoms bought for a bargain. Democracy is just a word when the people are starving. The average citizen made to be blind to the reason. A desert full of genocide where the bodies are freezing, and the world doesn't believe that you're fighting for freedom. freedom. Cause you fucked the Middle East and gave birth to a demon. It's open season with the CIA bugging my crib, trapped in a ghetto region like a Palestinian kid, where nobody gives a fuck whether you die or you live. I'm trying to give the truth and I know the price is my life, but when I'm gone they'll sing a song about immortal technique. Who beheaded the president and the princes and sheiks? You don't give a fuck about us. I can see through your facade like a fallen angel standing in the presence of God. Bitch niggas scared of the truth when it looks at you hard. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain, suggestive thinking causing your perspective to change. They want to rearrange the whole point of view in the ghetto. The fourth branch of the government want us to settle. A bandana full of glittering generality, fighting for freedom and fighting terror. But what's reality? Martial law is coming soon to the hood to kill you while you hanging your flag out your project window. Yeah. The fourth branch of the government, aka the media, seems to now have a retirement plan for ex-military officials, as if their opinion was at all unbiased. A machine shouldn't speak for men, so shut the fuck up, you mindless drone. And you know it's serious when these same media outfits are spending millions of dollars on a PR campaign to try to convince you they're fair and balanced, when they're some of the most ignorant and racist people giving that type of mentality a safe haven. We act like we share in the spoils of war that they do. We die in wars. We don't get the contracts to make money off of afterwards. We don't get weapons contracts, nigga. We don't get cheap labor for our companies, nigga. We are cheap labor, nigga. Turn off the news and read, nigga.
And you're very welcome back here on The Next Level on BreakForNews.com. I'm with Ken Humphreys. And Ken, the Constitution of America grew out of the Revolution of Reason, which accompanied the Reformation process. It arose out of that triumph of reason. And, you know, it's had a few hundred years. The question is, can it survive what seems to be a current backlash?
Well, you see, there is a battle in the States over, if you like, historical revisionism of just what were the dispositions of the founding fathers, and was America founded as a Christian nation or not? Of course, the threat now comes from certain denominations of Christians who re-establish an official church and reclaim America as a Christian nation. These people have influence.
Our analysis is that it's a self-serving embracing of the Christian church for purely political purposes. I have no doubt that the carefully calculating individuals behind the scenes don't buy any of this.
Many of the big names in the Jesus industry are charlatans. Every so often they are unmasked. Every so often they are literally caught with their pants down. They are multimillionaires. It's peculiarly American in many ways, but it's borrowing heavily from traditional Catholicism, a Catholicism which, in the rational revolution you spoke about, the Protestant movement sort of managed to break away from and at least have a purer doctrine. It did allow a certain degree of scientific thought to flourish, but in a climate that America's creating, you only have to consider for a moment this hysterical hostility towards evolution. It beggars belief. You know, to have a museum devoted to creationism, I mean, you think that's a joke, except that it's very real.
The logic and process of scientific method was regarded as the peak of intellect, and that just seems to be going out the window. That's a terrible thing to have to say, but we are starting to lose science. I certainly feel we've lost it in medicine, for example, and medicine was one of the bedrocks of science. So we're starting to see the fallout from this already, culturally.
The lapse from the cold reason of science into the hysterical, emotional superstitions of anti-science is reborn. It's with us again. You know, and the irony of it is, of course, our society owes so much to a couple of hundred years of science. You know, all the things that make life tolerable have come from science, not from religion.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
when religion ran the show for 1,000 years, all they produced was war and suffering and inhumanity and torture and God knows what else.
You know, are we reaching the point then, Ken, where we have to take a stand against the craziness of fundamentalism such as Christian fundamentalism or Islamic fundamentalism for all that matter, or any political fundamentalism? Is it like showdown time, which is a difficult notion, to be quite honest, for your average liberal to get their heads around? The idea is live and let live, but can it be live and let live any longer?
I think this is showdown time. I really do. I think if we don't defend civilization as we've known it, it will disappear. I've said this in articles on the website, and I think it's true, that the intelligentsia of the Roman Greek world didn't take the fanatics of Christianity seriously. They ignored them for the first century, they laughed at them for the second century, but by the third century, those fanatics had got themselves into positions of political influence, and then the laughing had to stop. And their critics then could not ever reclaim the lead. They were marginalised, and then they were persecuted, and then they were eliminated. Now, we can see many parallels to that development. And unless we rally round and defend civilization, then we may not succeed. But I think, I can't think of a more serious purpose to apply ourselves to.
You see, it comes hard. It really does. Because of the sort of live and let live idea. You know, we have the idea that people are entitled to follow whatever religion they wish. So where is our moral imperative? Does our moral imperative for resisting this fanaticism come from the fact that the people who believe in it are prepared to kill in the name of it?
That is true. Because you see, the mind of the fanatic is such that he has in his mind already the justification that he's working for higher and supreme forces. Your earthly existence is of no consequence. If he kills you in order to safeguard your eternal soul, then so be it. Many of the Spanish inquisitors actually thought they were doing a loving act in torturing people to death, because they were wrestling with the demon for eternal souls. If we tolerate them without criticism, then their claims will become bolder, and we will then tolerate even more restrictions upon ourselves in order to accommodate them.
Yeah, well, we need a subtlety of approach in differentiating between the benign and the extreme. Because there is a lot that is benign in the basic assertions of do unto your neighbour as you would have done unto you, the heart of the Christian ideal. But it's a long way from that to coming to Baghdad to blow your head away. Because,
well, there is, but
you
I
know.
Think I would agree with Richard Dawkins' comment there, that the first step into irrationality and superstition may appear harmless, but it is the thin end of a wedge. What harm does it cause if somebody feels that a little image of the Virgin Mary on their wall with a candle is somehow bringing a bit of holiness to them? But that is the first step in irrationality, and that is the danger, I feel. Yes, there's much that is harmless and benign in Christianity, and a lot of it is well meant. I would never contradict that. A lot of Christians are kindly people who do have people's welfare at heart. But I'd say that comes not from their Christianity, but from their humanity.
Yes.
We can't simply say we'll tolerate a certain amount of silliness and then make a stand.
The benign can turn into the demonic if you en masse it and make it a mass movement.
Christianity, in many of its forms, is very aggressive, very assertive. It's very imperialistic. It's out to spread its mission to the world.
Yes, and as long as those who form the body of the church do not resist that imperial militaristic nonsense, then they're part of the problem, I suppose. And as hard as it comes, it may be necessary to take one or two of them aside and start to pop the bubble by saying, hey, Jesus never existed, you know.
Well, I think that would be a good start.
It's a good start. Well, yeah, you know, okay, maybe, you know, maybe people have to grow up. Maybe we all have to grow up, Ken, and it's just tough. if we all have to grow up and realize that we've been believing in a superhero, a Christianized version of Superman, you know, just a nonsense, a fantasy nonsense, a Snow White and the Seven Dwarves rubbish. And that's a wake-up call for anybody who is in the current church. And that might start them thinking.
It will. I think it should. I think it should. I mean, okay, for many who rely upon this superhero as a comfort and some sort of solace in a difficult world, yes, it is probably a wrench and a difficulty. But we may dream for many things, but that doesn't necessarily make them a reality, and we have to accept the world for what it is. I think probably the best words are growing up and accepting there is no Santa Claus and there is no Tooth Fairy and there is no Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I have now, as an ex Christian believer, I now feel that I actually have a duty and responsibility to help to uproot this fantasy in the human mind. And there are some others as well. I wouldn't leave other religions out of it either.
I'm pleased to hear those words. All that I've done on the website is an attempt to spread information for people who are willing to read and to learn. Well, I hope to continue this project for some time yet.
If you haven't been to JesusNeverExisted.com, then go there. You can also go to the archive on BreakForNews.com and listen to our first interview with Ken, where we actually went into full detail on the issues of the existence of Jesus. It's great to see you developing the site and especially bringing it into a modern context, Ken. And thanks for joining us tonight again.
Been a pleasure.
Hey, you'd never guess, would you, that Ken was brought up in a home where religion was not shoved down his throat. But that's the case, and that's something that came out in our first interview, which I do recommend that you check out. But I think one of the most interesting things to come out of that discussion with Ken was the point he was making about Ratzinger and the implications of a Ratzinger papacy. You could do a whole another show on Ratzinger. However, the point is, the last time they maneuvered somebody into the papacy, we saw the fall of the Berlin Wall, we saw the collapse of the Soviet Union, we saw the expansion into Eastern Europe by NATO and the European Union. So I think it would be a little naive to think that just because the GOP are about, we assume, to suffer an electoral defeat, that that means that we've seen the back and the end of the influence on world events of this Christian fundamentalist movement. These people play a long game. And I think it's curious that many of us on BreakForNews.com know the landscape of the triumph of emotion over reason in a different context than religion. We know it in the context of 9/11, where even those who are trying to expose the truth, as they see it, of 9/11 are largely being caught in a trap where their own emotions overcome reason. Or we see it in the case of HIV/AIDS, where the whole Christian helpful dynamic of aiding people who are suffering is actually a manipulation created based on a fake disease syndrome. Or we see it in the war on drugs, where despite all of the failures, the emotions involved are still driving policy. And I won't list all the places where we see the consequences of reason being outmaneuvered by emotion, driven by the calculated self-interest of those who push our buttons. The only thing is, however, that reason does need to be fully informed in order to be effective. And hopefully we'll continue to keep you informed here on The Next Level. That track you heard during the interview was from Immortal Technique, The Fourth Estate. And that was another listener suggestion. Thanks for the suggestions. Thanks for the MP3s. Please do send them by email to me, Fintan@breakfornews.com. If you can send an actual MP3, then that would be great. Just one MP3 at a time, in case my email box explodes. Okay, we are up and running for the winter season, and we have some very interesting things in the pipeline, which I can't talk about until they come down the pipe. But I will be back shortly with more, and I do hope that you can join me for that. But in the meantime, for BreakForNews.com, this has been Fintan Dunn reporting.
Hold me safe and away from harm. Keep day for night, and as the day fades, burn a candle bright for me. Will you always keep me warm? Hold me safe and away from harm. Keep day from night, and as the day fades, burn a candle right for me. Walking into the sun. Walking into the sun.
Walking into the sun.